This week on Vaticano, athletes from around the world arrive in Rome for the Jubilee of Sport, where faith and competition meet under the dome of St. Peter's. Pope Leo XIV invites them to become missionaries of hope. Discover the Vatican's own Atletica Vaticana and hear the inspiring story of a Paralympian who turned personal tragedy into a journey of faith and resilience. Vaticano starts now. At the first ordinary public consistory held on June the 13th, Pope Leo XIV and the College of Cardinals made a significant announcement. The canonizations of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati and Blessed Carlo Acutis have been scheduled together for September the 7th, 2025. Originally planned for separate ceremonies during the Jubilee year 2025, the canonizations were rescheduled following the death of Pope Francis and the election of Pope Leo XIV. Carlo Acutis, who died at 15, used his talent for computers to spread Eucharistic devotion online. Pier Giorgio Frassati, who died at 24, lived a full life of study, charity, mountain climbing, and active participation in public life. EWTN has produced two documentaries on the lives of these young saints. Among them is To the Top, Pier Giorgio Frassati, produced by Christiana Video in collaboration with EWTN, and written and directed by Daniela Guerrieri. The film received the 2025 Moige Award in Italy, which honors excellence in family-friendly television and digital programming.
He brought faith into every aspect of his life. He did not renounce any part of life, friendship, political engagement, or study, but rather infused each of them with the strength, the beauty, and the joy of faith. In this way, he has a witness to the happiness that comes from faith.
Moige, the Italian parents' movement, honors productions like this for their power to inspire and guide young people, especially in the midst of today's challenging media landscape. Speaking about the award, Moige Vice President Elisabetta Gavasci Scala explains.
We are always looking for positive role models for young people. So whenever we find something that offers a positive example, we seek it out and select it. This program was recommended to us and we immediately loved it because it features a young man who loves life, loves the mountains, and enjoys being with his friends.
Daniela Guerrieri has also produced a documentary for EWTN on the life of Carlo Acutis.
The work on Carlo Acutis was different from that on Frassati because it wasn't a fiction film but a documentary, so we primarily worked with interviews. But these interviews left a deep impression on us because we spoke with people who had known him personally. Not only his mother, of course, but also his Indian housekeeper, his friends from Assisi, and all those who, in one way or another, were part of his brief life. And this is what strikes you most about Carlo. Despite such a short life, he was able to fully live out his faith and his spiritual dimension in a way that truly moves and even shocks you.
The canonizations of Pier Giorgio Frassati and Carlo Acutis will take place on September the 7th, 2025, bringing together young people from around the world for a single ceremony at the heart of the Catholic Church in Rome. The Omega Fitness Club has become the most famous gym in Rome in recent weeks. That's because one of its more than 1,000 members became Pope Leo XIV on May the 8th.
I won't lie, I let out a loud shout. It was a joy that felt double, even triple. First, the joy of having a new Holy Father after a time of deep mourning. Then, the joy of knowing that he's truly remarkable person. And finally, the joy of realizing that he's someone we all had the chance to meet right here at the gym.
When he was prefect of the Dicastery for Bishops, Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost often took long walks around the Borgo neighborhood, just steps from St. Peter's Square. He lived in a simple apartment on Via di Porta Angelica, very close to this gym, until less than 2 months ago, when he moved into a residence reserved for senior Vatican officials in the Sant'Uffizio building, which also houses the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith.
He was just like any other member you've seen here today. He wore simple workout clothes like everyone else. Often he was accompanied by his assistant while he trained.
A well-known tennis enthusiast, then Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, would spend his free time using the cardio machines, but also the stationary bikes and treadmills, designed to improve cardiovascular endurance and burn calories. A fitness-conscious Pope offering an example of the importance of leading a healthy lifestyle.
He's a small beacon that shows us all, if he can do it, we can all take care of ourselves and exercise. I think it's a great message for all of us. In today's fast-paced world, where we're constantly rushing, it encourages us to become more aware of our bodies and to start taking control of them, leading us toward an excellent experience that combines spirituality and physical training.
At the gym, they don't know whether he'll continue his workouts here, but they confirm that Pope Leo XIV remains a registered member, and they're ready to welcome him anew with open arms. In a few moments, we'll discover how the Jubilee of Sport brings athletes from around the world to Rome, where faith and competition meet under the dome of St. Peter's. The Jubilee Year of Hope is in full swing, and even sport has its own celebration. Athletes from every continent, Olympians, Paralympians, youth, and families, gathered in Rome to celebrate faith and athleticism. Pope Leo XIV welcomed the athletes and invited them to become missionaries of hope.
Sports are animated by hope, in the sense that they involve striving towards a goal, constantly trying to improve our performance and learning to work with others as a team.
At the Trinity Sunday Mass, the Pope reflected on how sport reveals the mystery of God. Then the Pope highlighted three virtues of sport: cooperation over isolation, presence in a digital age, and humility, learning to lose and rise again. He said that champions are not machines, they're real people who get up after each fall. The Jubilee of Sport was organized by the Dicastery for Culture and Education, led by Cardinal José Tolentino de Mendoza, together with the Italian Olympic Committee.
A champion doesn't just wake up one morning and find themselves great. No, they have to train constantly. And it's the same with the Christian life. We don't wake up in the morning and discover we're saints. No, the path to holiness is truly a continuous ascent.
Leading the Vatican's role in sport is its official multi-sport association, Atletica Vaticana, founded in 2018 within the Dicastery for Culture and Education. Atletica Vaticana unites Vatican citizens, employees, and residents who practice sport not only to compete, but to witness to fraternity, inclusion, and peace. At the helm of this unique initiative is Giampaolo Mattei, president of Atletica Vaticana.
There are athletes of all levels, professionals and amateurs, who live their Christian spiritual experience within the church. At the same time, the church has always been present in the world of sport. St. Paul frequently speaks about it, and even in the catacombs of Rome from the 4th century, you find images of Christian athletes. So this is not a new dialogue. It is a long-standing presence that now needs to be made even stronger and more conscious.
Central moments of the Jubilee included the athletes' pilgrimage along the Via della Conciliazione, crossing the Holy Door together, and the Jubilee Mass inside St. Peter's Basilica, presided over by Pope Leo XIV. Beyond the main events, Rome hosted vibrant side celebrations. One highlight was the Caritas Cup, a football and netball tournament featuring young people from Scotland. Hosted by the Diocese of Motherwell, the youth delegation took part as a witness to service in community. Another memorable moment saw a friendly football match between the Pontifical Swiss Guards, FC Guardia, the Vatican's own football club founded in 1924, and a specially assembled Hungarian team, honoring the legacy of football legend Ferenc Puskás. In the days leading up to the Jubilee, Pope Leo XIV also welcomed the entire field of the Giro d'Italia as they entered Vatican territory for the first time in history. The 159 riders pedaled a 3-kilometer neutralized route through the Vatican Gardens. Past Marian Shrines and Lourdes Grotto Replica, before exiting via the Perugino Gate, transforming their final stage into a symbolic pilgrimage on wheels. The Jubilee of Sport shows that sport is more than competition. It's a path of hope, fraternity, and faith in motion that leads us closer to God.
Amelio Castro, you collaborate with Atletica Vaticana. You're a Paralympic wheelchair fencer, and you're also from Colombia. How did you come to Rome?
Well, I believe everything started with the accident, because after the accident, I had to face a lot. I had to confront my reality, my life. I realized that I had been following certain paths that, in the end, weren't really what I wanted, especially in a moment like the one I had to go through, being so close to death. That led me to question a lot of things, and I realized that maybe I wouldn't have liked the way people would have remembered me if I had died. So I started working towards creating the kind of legacy I would want to leave behind. I think that's what led me to share my story and to do things that could inspire others. I think it's all of that.
What happened in the accident, Amelio?
The accident happened on November 6th, 2012. We were in a car with some friends, and I think the main factor was something people always say, but when you're young, you don't really take it seriously. Don't mix alcohol with driving. And that was, I believe, the fatal mistake we made. I wasn't driving, it was my friend Gustavo. But the main cause was that he was drunk, and speeding led to that terrible accident. Today, I even call it a wonderful accident, because it's been that whole process that has shaped my character.
And the consequences were serious. How did it affect your health?
Well, there were six of us in the car. I should clarify that I was the only one who was seriously affected. And rather than seeing it as something tragic, I say that these are God's processes. It took me 7 years to fully understand it, but I believe it's part of God's plan, because once I started to accept it, I realized it has actually been wonderful. It has given me a purpose in life. Yes, I lost the ability to walk due to a spinal cord injury. For a long time, I was focused on standing up, on walking again. But then I began to understand that even in a wheelchair, I could still move forward. I could still grow. I realized that while I was worried about my therapy and recovery, life wasn't waiting for me. As I always say, time waits for no one. That realization motivated me to stop seeing this as a tragedy and instead view it as an opportunity to see life from a different perspective. So I consider it a privilege. I also feel grateful because in the midst of that solitude, I found faith. That has been a fundamental pillar for me. I began to deepen my relationship with God, and His grace has never left me. I discovered sports, which started to bring my dreams and hope back. I already had hope, but sports gave me back the desire to live, the motivation for everything. I began to see that I could still be a citizen who can contribute and give a lot. And that's what I'm working and fighting for, to make those purposes a reality. The things I've achieved may not seem like much to me, because when I reach them, I know it's God's grace that allows me to achieve them, and it's not so difficult. But I'm very aware that without God's grace, none of this would be possible.
Do you remember the moment when your passion for fencing was born?
Well, my passion for fencing has been a constant process. I also believe that I've done my part because I always say God gives you opportunities. He helps you, but you also have to help yourself. So I think the passion came. First, I asked God for a sport where I could get results. And when I discovered fencing in my very first competition, I got results. I managed to beat someone who had been practicing fencing for a long time. Then, in my first national competition, I won a silver medal. The passion was also born because it's a combat sport, and I think it allowed me to fight. The constant fight gave me a way to express something that was already inside me, always struggling, always overcoming obstacles.
Paralympic athletes face an additional challenge compared to athletes without disabilities, don't they? Do you see it that way?
Well, actually, I'm a big fan of the Paralympic Games, even more than the Olympic Games, because yes, we know that in the Olympics, every athlete tries to give their absolute best, but then we have the Paralympic Games, where the same thing happens. All the Paralympic athletes give their maximum effort, but they also face the additional challenge of their health. So I believe it's a double effort. First, we have to fight against our own bodies, and only then can we compete in the specific sport itself. So while we admire the Olympians very much, in a way we, the Paralympians, become something like superhumans.
And why do you think it's so important to also focus on Paralympic athletes during the Jubilee of Sport?
Because that's what a Paralympic athlete gives you, hope. You see, Paralympic athletes, people who no matter their health, situation or physical condition, always keep moving forward. For example, at the Paralympic Games, I was amazed to see athletes who didn't have hands or feet, yet they were able to control their electric wheelchairs with their mouths, and they had medals hanging around their necks. That filled me with hope. If they could achieve it, I can achieve it too. And I believe that's exactly what Paralympic athletes can bring to an event as important as this Jubilee. They transmit that hope.
Thank you very much, Emilio Castro.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and also to everyone who's listening, because it's thanks to them that all of this is possible.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano. I am calling together young people from all over the world for 2025 in Rome to celebrate the Youth Jubilee together.
El jubileo de los jóvenes.
So we were in Lisbon for World Youth Day, and the Pope announced that it would be the Jubilee in Rome. So we thought at the time there would be something for young people or sport, and straight away we had our eye on it.
That moment of inspiration would lead them, months later, to Rome, where thousands of athletes from diverse sports and backgrounds gathered for the much-anticipated Jubilee of Sport. Among the many events held across the city to celebrate the beauty and joy of sport was the Caritas Cup, founded 5 years ago by four Scottish high school students to help young Catholics grow in faith through athletics.
It gets to bring young people back to the church. And give them an avenue to stay in the church. So as soon as we finish secondary school in Scotland, people kind of leave. It's the last sort of chance they've got to stay, and I think the Caritas Cup is an avenue for that.
In dioceses and schools across Scotland, the Caritas Cup organizes local tournaments that bring together young people from Catholic schools and parishes.
For us, most importantly, we're just trying to get young people involved in the church, and for us, and especially in Scotland and the community, football and sport, especially football and netball, it's sort of the way to do that.
Inspired by the values and mission of Caritas, the Catholic Church's global charity network, the Caritas Cup was founded to put faith into action through sport and service. Since the beginning, the team has been working closely with SCIAF, the Scottish Catholic International Aid Fund, to help support different projects on the local and international levels.
SCIAF is ever present in the schools in Scotland, just with their campaigns and stuff. Like, every school in Scotland knows about SCIAF. It's just such a big household name, really, for Catholics across Scotland. So we got in touch with them, and a lot of their projects we were able to support.
Beyond bringing together young Catholics to play football and netball tournaments in their diocese, the Caritas Cup also raises funds for vital Caritas projects around the world. This year, the Caritas Cup is supporting emergency aid efforts in the Holy Land.
The way that they describe it is very beautiful, you know, putting their faith into action and using something that is fun as a way to raise awareness about the important work that SCIAF does. And I think that this is another real plus of including young people is that, you know, the work that Caritas does is serious, that's for sure, but it doesn't mean that we can't approach it with a joyful spirit.
For the past 10 years, Rebecca explained, empowering young people has been included in the strategic framework of Caritas Internationalis. Their goal is to work together to raise awareness about issues that are affecting the global community that might not be as obvious in Scotland.
The challenges that the world is facing change every day and change quickly, and something that young people are particularly good at are thinking creatively and being energetic and being hopeful and reminding us that we can, you know, work in new ways to address the challenges of today and meet people's needs today.
Before the game, the players gathered to pray at the Pontifical Scots College in Rome. The event highlighted how sport teaches important Christian values like teamwork, discipline, respect, and perseverance, and offers a way to grow together in both friendship and faith. This was what Pope Leo emphasized in his homily for the Jubilee's closing mass on the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, that sport can help us encounter the triune God because it challenges us to relate to others and with others, both outwardly and inwardly.
Lo sport, specialmente quando è di squadra,
sport, especially team sports, teaches the value of cooperating, working together and sharing. These, as we said, are at the very heart of God's own life. Sport can thus become an important means of reconciliation and encounter.
Strumento importante di ricomposizione ed incontro.
In our competitive society, where it seems that only the strong and winners deserve to live, Pope Leo also stressed that sport also teaches us how to lose, and so open our hearts to hope.
L'atleta che non sbaglia mai.
Athletes who never make mistakes, who never lose, do not exist. Champions are not perfectly functioning machines, but real men and women who, when they fall, find the courage to get back on their feet.
Pope Leo recalled the straightforward and luminous life of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who taught us that just as no one is born a champion, no one is born a saint, and that it is daily training and love that brings us closer to the final victory.
I think that the virtues from sport can also continue into your faith, and I think for us as well, we've spoken about this previously, as failures. We have failures in sport, but you also have failures in faith, and times we need to get back up again.
It's also, the young men explained, a chance to grow in both human and Christian virtues by learning to support one another and work together as a team.
Especially in Scotland, there's a real sort of camaraderie and a sort of teamwork. And I think that's the beauty of the Caritas Cup, it's you're not on your own. And then that's the same for faith. So it's not just in sport, you're not on your own, it's in faith. There's always people there, and we want to be that people for anyone who can come to.
From the way the day unfolded, with prayer, teamwork, and a shared spirit of joy, it's clear that the goal wasn't merely to play.
I think what's important for us is we're not trying to make faith cool. Like, I don't think that works, but it's accessible, and I think this is a way to do it. For us, we just had to show people it's not something to be embarrassed about, and in Scotland that is probably the issue that people have. So this is a way for young men and young women to show their faith, and it's not the end goal. So playing football, playing netball is not what we want. All we want is people actively involved in the church, actively involved in Caritas, and in the end it's much bigger than just a game of football.